Our next speaker is Dave Vondel of IDEO.
Hello. Thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what open hardware means for design and specifically the design of objects. So Eric von Hippel was talking about the democratization of design. And as open hardware gains traction and the kind of desktop manufacturing revolution gets going, there's going to be a lot of interesting things to think about as far as what the designer means in this context. So I'm going to kind of talk about a exploration that IDEO did with Bug Labs, just a quick project where we opened up our design process and just put it online as we were working through it. And then I'm going to talk about some of these technologies that enable some interesting open design processes. And then I'm going to talk about what where I think we can go from here. So I'm going to try to rush through this because I don't have too much time. But so we worked with Bug Labs for 2 weeks to reimagine the display on their base unit. So it's just the display and the interface. So where the buttons and screen were on the older unit. So this was kind of a concept car type exploration. And one of the more interesting parts about the project was that we challenged the process and we decided to do an experiment to see, okay, well, what happens if we create a blog and just talk about what we do every day and get feedback from people and from Bug and from the community and refine our concepts in real time as we're designing. And so we made this WordPress blog. There are definitely much better formats to do this kind of open design, but we had 2 weeks, so this is what we could muster. And we just put it out there and wanted to see what would happen. And a lot of interesting things happened. Within the first 2 days, the Bug original design partner, Echo, was one of the first commenters, and that was really cool to see without even, you know, approaching them, have them get re-engaged with the design process. And that's kind of what a lot of this is going towards, is I feel like design can no longer be, for these types of objects, be, you know, design it, ship it, and then you work on something else. I think it's going to have to be more and more of an engagement from the designer on the project. So then some other funny stuff happened. We had some people giving like super negative feedback, basically assuming that we were like black turtleneck wearing designers that didn't know what we were doing or had no experience. But in reality, we had open source backgrounds and programming expertise. But then it was, this guy was still clearly passionate because he still was like, okay, after all that, I'm going to give you some ideas. And then, you know, so that was still great, basically. He just wanted the project to go well. So after the first week, we compiled some different technologies into concepts and then refined that into two different directions. One direction was just putting LEDs behind a set of buttons and having kind of a printable interface, so whatever you design, you can print out the buttons that you want to use. So kind of looks like this. And then this actually, in some manifestations, might have made it onto the device, but just creating the status display with LEDs behind a panel. And then the second design was this e-ink display. We were pushing on, trying to see if we could use a flexible segmented e-ink display in this unit. So we made this custom segmented font, and it looks like this. And that's what the segments look like. But the more interesting parts were, okay, what did we learn from having this open design project? And there's more information on labs.ideo.com or on the Bug Labs IDEO site. But so I got to go through these quickly. But know your audience, communicate in their language. We started off kind of communicating in maybe more like design speak, but we realized we needed to be less formal. Ideally, be your audience. This is a big one. Be prepared to dedicate 20% of your time to documentation and collecting feedback, which was really difficult at first, but then we learned this one, which was that openness supports rapid communication. So suddenly, we no longer had to have a bunch of meetings. We no longer had to have a bunch of phone calls. Everyone from Peter all the way, like everyone in the company was commenting on the blog. So we had that feedback through the blogs, and that was really helpful. And also talking to vendors was super easy because we just say, okay, go to the website, look at this image. Can you make that for us? We didn't need to do NDAs or anything. So you don't own your design, everyone does. Community doesn't come easy or free. That's a big one. 2 weeks is very difficult to create a community. Communication contextualization takes care. Profiting from a community is very delicate. And asynchronicity is a 24/7 team member. And then this is another one. Brutally honest feedback improves quality. So sometimes anonymous forums can really help you out. So then after the project, we wanted to stay involved. So we did a couple of things. Basically converted the already open CAD files to a bunch of formats that allowed more people to get involved or could allow more people to get involved, and did some explorations on some ideas of what you could do with different modules. But then, okay, so the next part of the talk is this whole idea of how just as desktop publishing, home computing, home music production, all of these areas have instigated change in their respective industries, I think we're on the cusp of change for the design of objects themselves. And so this is a really cool company. I don't know who's familiar with it, but you can either submit an idea. So if you submit an idea, then the people who work at Quirky will help you get it to a point where it can be manufactured, or other people in the community can help you with it. And then once it's deemed a manufacturable object, and you know how much it's going to cost to get it made, then they pre-sell the objects until you have enough volume, and then they'll go out and manufacture it. And then they pay people by how much they influence the product, which is really cool. But then this is kind of one of the biggest problems, which is hopefully what we as community can help solve. So can you promise that no one will steal my ideas? No, that basically you can't. Some other things like Pinoco, which is basically a laser cutting service. But again, you can either make it do the CAD yourself, or you can have somebody else do it for you. And so it's really enabling a lot of people to get involved. Shapeways, which is a similar type of thing, but with 3D printing. You can 3D print almost any material now. And then you can also, the cool thing about this is, and I think this is getting to some of the manufacturing talks that we were having earlier, is that you can totally sidestep that problem if you go a route like this, because a Shapeways product costs the same if you do one or if you do 1,000. They charge you, I think, I may be wrong, but they charge you by the material costs. So if you have a few things, if you can design for these types of manufacturing processes, then you don't have the whole problem of nobody will talk to me, I don't have enough volume. People like Protomold, the Thingiverse is really interesting. Which is like a MakerBot and repository. Kickstarter is allowing people to get these types of products off the ground. And then a little plug for something IDEO just launched called OpenIDEO. It's not as product focused, but I'm hoping we can move in that direction. And we get around the issue of profiting from the community through this by doing unpaid social impact work. So we take big questions and try to involve as many people in as many different industries as we can in the inspiration, conceptual, and evaluative phases of the design process. So what does this mean for designers? I think that we're really going to have to start thinking about my role as a designer is to create a platform that's an enabler for people to contribute to my product. So maybe this could also be, I could be called the originator, as Gerald deemed it. But the whole idea is that I think we can look to open source software, and that a lot of successful projects have a lead architect that's managing the trunk of the project. And I think that that's kind of, when we look at objects and we look at the way that objects are now kind of created from their digital counterparts, we can start to create repositories and structures very similar to the open source software community for physical things. And I think that we just need to change the way that the tree structure is depending on the product. So if it's something that's really expensive to manufacture, it might need to have a bigger trunk in order to support the type of volume. Whereas if something that's really easily made on some of these prototyping areas, then it could have more branches. So I think that's really interesting. And the other thing that we need to challenge ourselves to do as far as designing something is we need to let go of control and not think about the designer as a person who's making this object, this perfect object, but enabling people to help you in the creation process. So I think, yeah, I've got like 40 seconds, so I think that was best. Do I have time for a question, or should we just move to the next? I don't know. Okay, thank you.